From sprains to fallen arches to plantar fasciitis, our feet and ankles are vulnerable to all kinds of injuries. I'm Joy Cardine, sitting in for Larry Mueller today. Larry is a little under the weather. We will be talking about foot and ankle pain with our guests today, Lori Tyne Brody and Jill Tyne Nissenbaum. Lori is a physical therapist and athletic trainer at the UW Health Spine Physical Therapy Clinic, and Jill is an associate professor in the Doctor of Physical Therapy program at UW-Madison. Do you have a question about a foot or an ankle injury? Are you having any problems recovering from an injury? What physical therapy questions do you have today? You can join in by calling 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post a question on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Let me welcome our guests, Jill and Lori. Welcome back. Good morning.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Well, it's good to have you both here. We will have a special focus on foot and ankle injuries, but as usual, we'll open it up to other aches and pains and strains as we go along.
There are plenty of those out there.
Yeah, there are.
And maybe some people are a little sore from this nice weather this weekend. Maybe they decided to go out and start their spring running program
early. It was happy. I'm outside. I overdid it weekend, I think, for a lot of
exactly. It was beautiful. It really was. And I'm not going to turn this into my own show, but I did the same thing where my right ankle is just a little achy from I don't know what I did, but it's not chronic and it's not terrible, but it's there. So we can do a lot to our feet and our ankles, can't we?
Oh, indeed. 26 bones, 33 joints, and 100 muscles, tendons, and ligaments in your foot. So there's a lot of potential to go wrong. And if you think about your body weight with every step having to be transmitted through those very small bones and joints and absorbed by those muscles and tendons in your foot and ankle, it's a big load, especially if you're running. The impact is seven times your body
usually.
Weight,
mm-hmm. yeah,
depending upon your mechanics.
And all those joints have to work. They all have to contribute at the appropriate time and the appropriate amount. Otherwise, one joint says, I'm not going to work anymore, and another joint has to do more work and basically becomes overused.
Yeah. So besides a slightly turned or twisted ankle, what are some of the injuries that you see as physical therapists?
Well, we see a lot of overuse injuries in people who do too much, too soon, too fast, which probably happened this weekend to a lot of folks. Achilles tendonitis or tendinopathy, posterior tibialis tendinopathy or tendonitis. And then on the plantar aspect or the bottom of the foot, we see a lot of heel pain, whether it's plantar fasciitis or something else. But we see a fair amount of patients whose chief complaint is heel pain. Of course, that affects gait mechanics a great deal.
Is plantar fasciitis heel pain? I always think of that as in the arch.
So the insertion of the plantar, that's a great question.
Yeah.
The insertion of the plantar fascia is actually on your calcaneus, that heel bone. So some people have pain that manifests right at the insertion on the bone, and some people actually have pain along the arch.
So the plantar fascia inserts, as Jill said, on the calcaneus, but it's on the undersurface, on the inside of your heel bone. It's not on the backside. On the backside, you have your Achilles tendon, but the pain associated with plantar fasciitis is usually to the inside your heel bone and a little bit underneath. You can also have pain directly under your heel bone. That is a fat pad issue. You can also get a little nerve entrapment in that fat pad as well. So not all heel pain is plantar fasciitis. And in the back, in addition to the Achilles tendonitis, you can get a bursitis. There's a bursa that sits, or at least one bursa, that sits back there as well.
Well, I know a lot of people that have had plantar fasciitis, and boy, is that seems like a tough one to fix. And I'm looking at a research report that you guys brought in here, and it says only 7% of patients will actually get a physical therapist recommendation to go and see someone to take care of this.
Right. They did a study and they looked at all the people who had complaints of plantar fasciitis and identified those that did go to physical therapy. And only about 7% of people with plantar fasciitis went to physical therapy.
And the rest of them called into this show.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But physical therapists have as a resource through the American Physical Therapy Association something called clinical practice guidelines, where some really smart physical therapists summarized all the research out there and basically formulated one document that says, these are the kind of recommendations we have to use this type of treatment, this type of treatment, this type of treatment. And of all the clinical practice guidelines we have, the only one that's been revised is the one for heel pain. And the one variable that changed the most in the last 6 years was the use of manual therapy. Was going to see a physical therapist, have them put their hands on you and either stretch tight structures, mobilize tight joints like Lori talked about, or cue you to have your muscles work properly. So that came back most recently as having very strong evidence to be beneficial in patients with heel pain.
We are talking about foot and heel and ankle pain with our two guests, physical therapists Jill Tyne-Nissenbaum and Lori Tyne-Brody. Our lines are full, so let's see what our listeners are dealing with these days. Jared in McFarland is with us. Hi, Jared.
Hi, good morning, Jill and Lori. Thank you for doing this show. I actually called about a month or a couple months ago about elbow pain, and I'm happy to announce that with through massage and physical therapy that's working out a lot better now.
Oh, great. Excellent. Thanks for that feedback.
So a little background on my ankles. 23 years ago, I shattered my left ankle, so I've got a whole full set of hardware in there. That one actually doesn't give me much problems. A little over a year ago, I rolled my right ankle on uneven ground pretty severely and broke the outside bone nearest the ankle. I'm all healed up from that, no surgery, but now I'm experiencing a lot of pain in the joint where I need to roll it side to side, and it's almost like I have to crack my knuckles, like you're cracking that joint to alleviate the pain. And through that kind of stretching and whatnot, it has gotten better, but it's a... I don't know if I need to go in for an MRI, if there's something else going on in there that I should be addressing.
So this was your right ankle?
Correct.
Okay. And you fractured
the fibula,
the base. Do you know how big of a fracture it was? Or
it was kind of at an angle, but it was straight through. And I did a conscious sedation and they set it, but no surgery on that, no pins or anything.
Okay, and then how were you treated after that? Were you casted?
I was in a cast, then I was in a boot, and then I had physical therapy with, you know, stretch bands and whatnot, and I did a lot of that.
Okay.
Strength is probably only at like 40 or 50%.
Okay.
I've always had, that ankle's always bothered me. It's always seemed like it was weak. Okay. I've been on narcotics for heel pain, for chronic foot pain for a couple of years now, just because the heel hurts so bad at the end of the day. I have very flat feet. And now, you know, rolling and breaking my ankle really did not help.
Right.
So it, you know, my sense, and I'll have Jill chime in, is, you know, when you broke the end of the fibula there, you likely had a disruption of your mortise, and that's the joint that sits between the two ankle bones. And so the reason you were immobilized, you know, not all those distal fibula fractures are the same. Some are treated very simply and conservatively, but yours was a fairly significant post-injury intervention, suggesting to me that you had a pretty good disruption of the stability of that joint. So I'm not sure what else is going on in that joint. It's possible that you had some sort of lesion to the talus or the dome that sits in between there, like a osteochondral lesion or something.
Like a little divot taken out of it like you would on a golf course.
Yep, exactly. So that may have happened at the same time. So, you know, continuing to get your strength back, and if you're continuing to have pain, having a further assessment to see if there's anything else going on in the joint itself that wasn't seen because you didn't have advanced imaging at the time.
What do you do for work? I can't remember, but I know we talked about this when we talked about your elbow.
You remember that?
I do. Mm-hmm. Oh,
jeez. I actually build custom motorcycles in service, and I'm on concrete all day.
Oh,
okay. So what kind of boots do, what kind of shoes or boots do you wear?
I wear a Red Wing type shoe that's made for, you know, construction. It doesn't give a lot of support, but
okay.
Those don't work. Like a taller boot, I've tried that. That actually...
Have you, have you tried a like a lace-up ankle brace that offers you a little bit more flexibility than a boot that would probably fit in your shoe?
I have used that. I have that actually from my post.
Okay.
Stuff that was a kind of lace-up to keep it from going side to side and whatnot. That kind of seemed like it would be more irritated because I wasn't moving it.
Okay. Well, two things. One, you can try a variety of different braces or supports. And the second thing is you should find some sort of shock absorptive mat. So when you're working in a certain area and you have to stand, that you have greater cushion coming up into your foot.
Good luck to you, Jared. Poor Jared. Boy, he's Jill, you're bringing up shoes, in this case boots, for Jared. How important is the shoe to foot and ankle pain?
I think it's very important. You need to have a shoe that fits your needs. If you have a relatively rigid foot, you need a shoe that absorbs a little bit of shock. If you have a flat foot like Jared, you might need something that offers you a little bit of support. And then, of course, the most important thing, as Lori talked about, was if you're walking on hard concrete, which virtually everyone is, you know, in a department store, things like that, you need to absorb shock somewhere. So getting one of those shock absorptive mats is a really good idea.
Let's take another call from Chris in Highland. Hi, Chris.
Hello, how are you doing today?
Good. What's your pain?
I guess I've got some pain in my the rear of my heel or up at the Achilles tendon. During the week, I don't walk around a lot for work. On the weekends, I get out and about, doing a lot of stuff outside. At the end of the day, I'll sit down and, you know, if I sit for 15 minutes or so, when I go to stand up, it's really tight at the back of my heel or at the tendon there. It's painful. For well, a few minutes until I've walked it off, and then it's fine. And every time I sit down for the night, it seems to do that. In the morning, though, it's fine, like nothing ever happened. Just wondering what can be done or what it might be.
Well, it sounds like some Achilles tendinopathy.
Yep.
So that's sort of a classic pattern where you feel stiff after you stop using it. You get up, you get moving, takes a little while to warm up, and then it feels better. And you're better after a night's rest. That's in complete contrast to plantar fasciitis, which hurts more in the morning. So if you feel better in the morning, it looks more like an Achilles tendinopathy. So I would go in and have this looked at because both Achilles and patellar tendinopathies can be notoriously hard to get rid of because you're on your feet all day. So if you catch them earlier, it's better. You're more likely to have success with the different interventions rather than waiting until it's a rip-roaring problem where you're having difficulty walking and completing your daily activities.
And the other thing is it's interesting as to why you only have it in one lower extremity. So maybe there's a muscle imbalance farther up the chain, at your knee, at your hip, that a therapist could also offer you some corrective exercises for and kind of help you get your balance back, per se.
Good luck to you, Chris. Thanks very much for the call. We will continue discussing foot and ankle problems, how to prevent them, how to ease the pain that is associated with them during this edition of The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Joy Cardine filling in for Larry today. He's a bit under the weather. If you have a question for our guest, call us at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network. Coming up this afternoon after 1 o'clock on the Kathleen Dunn Show, it's All Things Political, where Kathleen and her guest will talk about all things political, including the alleged connections between Donald Trump's presidential campaign and Russian officials. That's coming up during All Things Political after 1 o'clock. I'm Joy Cardine, sitting in for Larry Mueller today. Larry has the crud that's going around. We hope he's better and back tomorrow. We are talking with our two guests on physical therapy issues. Lori Tyne Brody is a physical therapist and athletic trainer at UW Health Spine Physical Therapy Clinic, and Jill Tyne Nissenbaum is an associate professor in the Doctor of Physical Therapy program at UW Madison. And we have full lines. A lot of people have some foot and ankle problems. Nancy in Grafton is with us. Hi, Nancy.
Hello. I have to go to the therapist this afternoon. Something is haywire with my calf and my leg. It's so swollen, and I had an ultrasound. They said there's no blood clots in there, and so I don't know what they're going to do with physical therapy, but I'll find out, I guess, at 1 o'clock today. But what the heck could cause that? I can run my fingers up the inside of my leg, and I can just feel certain spots where it hurts to beat Dickens. And so what do you think this could be?
So, well, let's back up. So I take it you've seen a physician because you had an ultrasound.
Yes.
And they've ruled out any of the bad things. No blood clot.
Right.
Do you have any heart conditions?
Oh, I guess I have a floppy mitral valve, but everything else is floppy.
Okay, because sometimes you can get swelling from various heart conditions or medications associated with it.
I take no pills.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
Good for you. So, you know, if you have a bad valve, it's also possible you have some bad valves in your calves, and sometimes you can get what's called lymphedema in your calf, and so physical therapy can help you with some different manual therapy techniques to help increase the circulation in the area. They can help you with some exercises to help facilitate the movement of fluid out of there. They can help you with some lifestyle issues, as in how to manage your day to minimize the swelling there, as well as different kinds of stockings and such.
I've tried all those kind of those stockings and all that, and they cut in so bad. I mean, and they're good ones. These aren't cheap ones.
Yeah. I'm guessing that actually it sounds like you probably need some very specific lymphatic drainage. And so seeing a physical therapist that specializes in that kind of massage will probably help get things started. And then letting that therapist know that you do have those stockings, maybe once the swelling comes down a little bit, they would be a better fit for you. It sounds like you're pretty irritated right now.
Yeah. And you know, your skin stretches so much that it's itchy and it's
right.
Itchy.
Yes.
And that's not nice either.
No.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very glad you're going to therapy. I think that's a great option for you, and hopefully we'll get you on an upward spiral.
Yeah, and Nancy, you said that your husband is also having some foot and ankle problems. Did you have one, you know, one question for on your husband?
Well, he just must turn in bed or something, and on the bottom of his foot around the ankle, it hurt to beat the Dickens, and he's been doing his own therapy, you know, wrapping it up with elastic bandages and stuff like that. I think it's getting a little better now. But it was for about 4 or 5 days. It was no fun at all.
Oh,
so, anyway.
Oh, so he might have twisted it or turned it.
Yeah, that's what I think happened.
Yeah.
Since
right.
I listened to your first few minutes that you were talking,
perfect.
I learned something there, too.
Great.
All right.
Awesome. Thanks very much, Nancy, for the call. You know, I had these new, really cute,
cute
cat slippers that had this platform that was about 3 inches tall.
Oh, yeah.
And I was walking around in those with my cat slippers, and my ankle fell
yes.
off of that
yeah.
platform, and
yeah.
I twisted or turned my ankle
right,
just
yeah.
right walking in my house, and
right.
it was not fun. And it healed on its own. But if you do something like that, what can physical therapy do for you, or is it time will heal all wounds?
Well, that's actually a great question. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole multitude of literature looking at what we call chronic ankle instability. And people who sprain their ankle and don't have proper rehab are, I want to say, like 60 or 70% more likely to go on and re-injure it and do it again. So don't put your cat slippers back on unless you've
had some
rehab.
right, exactly. I tell you, the heels and platform shoes, they keep us in business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So an ankle sprain is not a benign
no.
injury because of the just sort of the nature of foot and ankle mechanics. So it really should be looked at to prevent chronic ankle injuries.
Let's go next to Brian in Caledonia. Hi, Brian.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've got a few issues with my feet, some arthritis in some of the joints, some neuropathy. But the thing that bothers me maybe more than the other stuff or that I can't cope with is the padding underneath the ball of my feet has moved up underneath my toes. And the doctor says he normally sees that just in people who are way overweight, and I'm not, but maybe it's just my hard life. I wonder if that could be repositioned or removed so as just not cause me pain as it gets jammed under the toes.
I have never seen anyone who's
yeah.
had where that tissue underneath the ball of your foot has moved up under your toes.
Yeah, the
right.
padding that's supposed to be there for
yeah.
the joint, it's moved up underneath.
Huh.
I'm sorry. Maybe a podiatrist is listening and can fill us in, but I have never seen that.
Right. Do you have a career such that you were in shoes that kind of forced your weight towards your toes, or did you do a lot of squatting or something that would have predisposed you to this?
Well, I got a prescription from a doctor once that says, on it, do not work so hard.
Yeah. Well, you know,
so
that
I showed that to my wife and retired a couple of years after that.
Nice. You know that
it's just been kind of a busy, hard life, I guess.
Yeah.
And it has.
You should probably
moved,
see it.
You
know,
and it doesn't give me the padding. In fact,
right,
yeah.
Right.
It's
so
pain because it's jammed underneath there.
Sure. Well, and a big issue would be that part of your foot. You would be susceptible to neuromas,
right,
because you don't have that padding in between your toes. So I expect that at this point, given the number of things you have, you've seen a podiatrist.
I've seen about four of them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, I have nothing to add. Yeah. To that.
Right.
Hopefully the next one can tell you something that you might be able to do to remedy
the
that.
The only other thing that I would say that, you know, potentially seeing a physical therapist who has a specialty in foot and ankle, there may be some manual therapy things that they could recommend, and they could instruct him in some sort of manual therapy. I wonder about ASTEM or any of those things that.
Yeah, that might be an option. I was thinking about like an earth type shoe where the heel was lower than the metatarsals. You still have to rock off your metatarsals.
Yeah.
What about a clog? A rocker shoe.
Yeah,
a rocker bottom shoe. What about a shoe with a rocker bottom, Brian? Have you tried anything like that?
Crocs right now are the only thing that really help me.
Clogs?
Crocs.
Okay.
I use my Dremel tool and carve out that area where that padding is so I get more room. Earth shoes actually were worse, and even the Crocs to begin with, because it gives you a bump so your foot can kind of hang on there,
sure,
but it's not where I want to hang on.
Wow.
Well, good luck, Brian. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah, if you do find something that works, will you call back and let us know?
Yeah.
Sure, I'll let Joy know. She'll be
okay.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you. Well, we are getting some physical therapy advice for foot and ankle pain in particular, though we will open the lines if you have some other ache pain. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine in for Larry Mueller. We are talking today with Lori Tyne Brody and Jill Tyne Nissenbaum. We have a Facebook comment from Jan who says, the soles of my feet started to bother me while doing yoga recently. Do you have any ideas for relief? I'm not sure what you would do in yoga that would bother the soles of your feet all that much, but any thoughts?
Well, a lot of yoga is done barefoot. So.
And if she's in a position where her toes are in hyperextension or something like that.
There is broken toe pose that maybe she's doing.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So, that where your toes are extended.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you are if you're hypermobile or if you have instability in your arch, if you're really flat-footed and you're not maintaining a normal arch, so not all foot mechanics are the same. So you're doing a yoga pose and you're focused on your hips or your trunk or whatever position, and you're not focused on keeping your foot, or we specifically your subtalar joint, in your neutral position, then it can overload other structures in your foot.
Let's see. We have Cindy in Belleville with a question. I think we're moving from the foot to the wrist now. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Joy. Thanks. Wrist is similar enough to an ankle, I guess. I fell on the ice on January 17th, so it's been a little over a month now. My wrist was badly sprained. The x-ray said not fractured. Hooray. So I'm just starting to do some gentle stretching. I looked up some rehabilitation exercises online and been starting those. I have the biggest problem with extension, I believe it is, since that's the way it hit when I fell. And supination, I believe that's where you lie your hand flat on a table when I try to use the computer, for example. So
what I
need to know is how much pain is okay for me to feel when I'm doing these stretches and I don't want to overdo?
That's a really good question. As a general rule of thumb, I always tell people if they feel a little discomfort while they're in that position, But as soon as they take themselves out of that position, their pain goes back to baseline, that's okay.
Mm-hmm. And there's a difference between pain and stretching pain, so if you can feel stretching without pain, that's preferable. If you get stretching and pain simultaneously, you need to be a little bit careful. If you get pain before you feel any stretching, then you should probably be cautious about that.
I see. Okay.
And the other thing is, if you've been immobilized for some time, you are probably doing a great job stretching the soft tissues, but you have to remember that the bones were immobilized as well, and you may need some manual therapy by a physical therapist or an occupational therapist that specializes in hands to get some mobility back between all those joints.
Where about in your wrist do you have the most pain?
It's right in, where the bump is on your wrist. It's directly across the wrist at that point, and that's where it's still a little bit swollen.
All the way across the wrist on both sides, little finger side and thumb side equally?
Pretty much. More swollen towards the thumb side.
Well, that explains why she's having a hard time with extension. Because she has swelling back there.
And do you know how many views of your wrist they had?
I believe it was 3 views.
Okay. So we just want to make sure that they looked at your navicular.
Okay.
Because that can be missed on standard x-rays, and it's at the base of your thumb. And if that bone is fractured, it often cannot be seen on your standard x-rays.
Right.
And it can give you a lot of trouble.
I remember they had me position my hand so the thumb was up.
Good. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay. All right. Very good. So if, you know, see what kind of progress you're making, and if you're still having difficulty, you might see a hand specialist or a physical therapist for 1 or 2 visits to have them assess it and give you some other strategies for stretching that you can do at home.
Okay, right. Great. Thank you.
Good luck, Cindy. Boy, and I know more than a few people who broke wrists on the ice
this
year.
It's very common. Yeah, very common in elderly. Well, I don't know. Cindy, I'm not calling
Cindy.
You elderly. But
older.
In women with
fallen
on an outstretched hand.
Yeah. Let's go now to Steve in Black River Falls. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Thanks. I just wanted to mention that I developed fasciitis about 20 years ago. Went to a podiatrist. He gave me some custom fit orthodontics, and within a couple of weeks I was running. I've been a runner basically all my life, and these orthotics have really worked well for me. And I'm wondering if and I used the orthotics there for a few years, consistently. Now I only use them when I'm doing basically extensive running or hiking. Do you think that I'd probably, that this fasciitis is corrected where I wouldn't really need the orthotics anymore?
Oh, what a great question. Mm-hmm. You don't know if it's corrected or not. You corrected your original symptoms, but what you've done is with the use of your orthotics during running and hiking and not the other times, you are in what we would call homeostasis. If you think about a teeter-totter with load on one side and the plantar fasciitis ability to tolerate load on the other side, they are in balance. So if you stop using the orthotics during running, you will place additional load on the plantar fasciitis, load that is now supported by your orthotics. Whether or not your plantar fascia can tolerate that load, or if your teeter-totter will now tip, we don't know unless you tried it to see. So it's really up to you whether or not you're willing to take that risk. If you said, really, I don't like using my orthotics, I don't want to use them anymore, I would gradually taper them down. I wouldn't do an all or none. So you might use them for your run, one less day a week for some time, and then gradually wean it down and see how your plantar fascia tolerates it. But I probably wouldn't go cold turkey at the risk of overloading my plantar fascia again.
Right.
Does that make sense?
All right, thank you.
I mean,
I haven't had a problem since then at all.
I would go, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
That'd be my attitude.
Right. Is there some reason why you don't want to use your orthotics when you're running or hiking?
No, no, they're fine. I'm used to them. No problem at all.
Yeah. But if you have plantar fascia, I always say fasciitis, but
it's fine. That's all right.
If you've had that and recover from that, are you recovered from that, or is it one of those things you don't ever fully recover from?
Oh yeah, you can. He fully recovered from that episode where he overloaded his plantar fascia. Now, why it was overloaded, we don't know. It could have been training error, and he may have gotten better without the orthotics if he got whatever his training error was back under control. So when it comes to things like these overuse injuries, there are a number of variables. There's surface, there's frequency, there's recovery time, there's body weight. I mean, there's all kinds of variables. So he picked the variable of, I'm going to control my mechanics, and that really worked for him.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not he would develop plantar fasciitis again, you know, in a new episode, we don't know. It's not unlike arthritis. You know, you have arthritis in your knee, and you go to Disneyland, you walk around in flip-flops for 3 days, your knee swells up and you're sore. But then your symptoms can go away if you allow it to recover. Has your arthritis gone away? Well, no, but the stuff that created your symptoms does. So I don't know. That was kind of a long-winded answer to your question.
I got distracted by the flip-flops because I put flip-flops on for the first time this weekend, and I'm sure that that's not really good for my feet.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Well, that could contribute to your ankle hurting.
That could very well be. There we go. You know, do you have any advice for athletes or people who like to work out whose feet and ankles are vulnerable? Is there anything we can do, exercises, to prevent the pain or an injury?
Well, that's a great question, and I think for that you need to understand what the individual's risk factors for what condition are. So not everyone can be treated the same. I can't give the same four exercises to these people and have them be effective. So for some people, they need strengthening. Some people need more balance and proprioception work. Some people may need more flexibility.
Some people need mechanical interventions, and they need, for example, a running analysis, and they need strengthening farther up the kinetic chain, as in their hips, because their hip muscles are not doing what they're supposed to do, and so as they land on impact, they're not controlling the loads at your feet. So there's a real interplay all the way up the kinetic chain that there's not a one-size-fits-all answer.
What about wrapping? Is wrapping a good idea or not, just in general?
Wrapping
one of those bandages around your ankle and foot if you feel like you need a little more support.
So if you feel like you need support, you know, our first rule is you strengthen and balance and proprioception. When I was at an athletic trainer many years ago, our head trainer said, you don't get wrapped or taped without strengthening. But if you do need support for whatever reason, the lace-up ankle braces seem to be the best because you can tighten them throughout your training session in comparison to taping, which loosens.
Right, and they're much more cost-effective than tape.
Our next caller is Heidi in Wisconsin Rapids. Hi, Heidi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I've got some foot pain on my left foot. It's on the top side of my foot. It had no injury, nothing that, happened. I noticed it, actually not last Christmas, but the Christmas before when I bought a pair of boots. And it's just kind of on the opposite side of the arch on the top outside surface of the foot. Getting in and out of a vehicle, it hurts. Getting in and out of bed, it hurts. If I lay down, it tends to hurt a little more. And the pain can kind of spray down into my fourth and fifth toe. I went to a podiatrist, and they diagnosed plantar fasciitis. But I'm not convinced. He did wrap my foot around the back of my heel and underneath. It helped a little, but it hasn't gone away. Any ideas?
Pain on the top of the foot, would that be plantar fasciitis?
No. Pain on the top of the foot is not plantar fasciitis.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
yeah, because the plantar fascia is on the bottom side of your foot.
Okay.
It sounds more like cuboid pain, like there's a bone right kind of where you describe it that connects to your fourth and fifth. You don't remember any mechanism of injury where you, for example, maybe almost sprained your ankle or sprained your ankle and felt yourself catch it really quickly or anything like that?
Not that I remember.
Okay.
Or something on an uneven surface.
Right. Yes.
You know, where you were walking on rocks or an uneven surface where you had a lot of twisting in the middle of your foot that wasn't at your ankle?
again, not that I remember.
Okay.
Have you seen a physical? Have you seen a physical therapist?
Not a physical therapist. Yes, I saw one for a shoulder injury that I've got, and she had brought up the fact I've also had both hips resurfaced, and she said a lot of times you can get foot pain from hip injuries that kind of, you know, knee bone connected to the
right
ankle bone thing.
Yes.
And so that was one of my next things I was going to do, and I happened to hear your show come on, and I'm like, well, I'll ask.
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, where you're describing your symptoms, there's the cuboid is a bone that's there, and it can actually kind of spin a little bit off its axis, and you can do a little mobilization to get it like right back in place, and it's relatively easy.
Right. So
if you see a PT.
Yeah, so if you had confidence in that previous PT who you saw for your hips or whatever,
yeah,
I'd go back and see that person and have them look at that hip-foot connection and see what's going on.
Now, would that be something they would see in an x-ray at all? Because they did x-ray and they said there's nothing wrong.
No.
Probably not.
No.
Nope. No.
Okay.
All right, Heidi. Thanks very much for the call. Good luck. I have a friend who has some arthritis in her big toe.
Oh yeah, it's the worst.
I know. And it, but you know what? It's not. It's. I mean, it seems kind of funny, but after a while, it really hurts her to walk.
It's very limiting. You need a lot of what we call great toe extension. There, I think it's
90 degrees. Oh, 90 degrees barefoot.
Yes,
60 or 70 in a shoe.
So you need a lot of mobility there to push off every time you push off. And so if it's not there, what happens is you change how you push off your foot, and she could be pushing off the inside of her foot. It can kind of create almost a bunion type effect.
Yep.
So people have no idea how important great toe extension is to gait and mechanics.
Yeah. Is there anything a physical therapy can do for someone with arthritis in their big toe?
Yeah. In fact, my teenager had sort of the teenage version of that turf toe, where that
like
big
bruised
toe. Yeah, yeah. From they see it a lot in soccer players, wrestlers. He's a football players. He's a soccer player. Anyway, you do some mobilization where you distract the joint and you do some manual therapy to loosen that joint and stretch the capsule. Mm-hmm. And then we look at gait mechanics, any modifications to an orthotic or a shoe, or recommendations about shoes to decrease the stress there,
right.
Because it can be very, very painful.
And when I said I have a friend, I really meant I had a friend. It wasn't me, even though I'm trying to get all my questions answered. Well, I'm Joy Cardine. I'm filling in for Larry Mueller. Larry is struggling with that virus that seems to be hitting everybody these days. I am happy to be talking with his guests, Jill Tyne-Nissenbaum, an associate professor in the Doctor of Physical Therapy program at UW-Madison, and Lori Tyne-Brody, a physical therapist and athletic trainer at UW Health Spine Physical Therapy Clinic. We are talking about foot and ankle pain in particular, but if you have another pain you'd like to ask about or any kind of physical therapy question, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are talking about our feet and our ankles and all the work they do for us and how to help them when they hurt. We are talking with our two physical therapy experts about foot and ankle problems and how to prevent pain, how to prevent injury, how to ease pain. And we're welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine in for Larry Mueller, talking with Lori Tyne-Brody and Jill Tyne-Nissenbaum. Our next caller is Bonnie in Janesville. Hi, Bonnie.
Hello.
Hi, what's your pain?
About 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with a bicep tendonitis. Mm-hmm. It was just some overwork in the garden. I know what I did. I had physical therapy. I had an injection in that shoulder, too, and did some TheraBands. And it took a couple of years, but it had been feeling better. But I went for a walk one Sunday ago, so 8 days ago, tripped over a crack in the pavement, and I basically did a really forward belly flop. And my arms were stretched, you know, I guess hyper-stretched, way out in front of me, and that arm hurts again, like it did before. I can pull my arm straight up over my head. I can use my arm for most things I need to do. The thing that really hurts it is when I stretch it out away from my body. and try to raise it, then the pain is in a similar place as it was when I had that bicep tendonitis, right, kind of, I don't know, I guess, you know, just that up in that upper arm inside. When I lay down, and I remember this from before, it almost hurts more unless I keep it kind of neutral. When I lay down, if it falls off, you know, kind of falls away or falls forward, that seems to be when it hurts more. So I haven't seen anybody for it. I've been wondering if I should have some physical therapy or if I could just do some of those same exercises I did before or if I should let it heal before I try to do anything.
All of the above,
all right.
No.
All of the above. May I ask one question? How old are you, Bonnie?
63.
Okay. All right.
And I know, by the way, I know on that shoulder or that arm, whatever, because I had that, I had an injection, and I think they said that it was kind of friable. The tendon was kind of friable.
Okay. All right.
What does friable mean?
Well, it's a little shredded or a little weak, a little vulnerable.
Yeah. Is your shoulder getting better, Bonnie?
It's only been a week, and I wouldn't say it's better, but it's not worse.
I think you should see someone, and I know the reason that Lori asked your age wasn't because she was being nosy.
Yeah.
But I think we want you to keep using your arm because you're in that age category that's at risk for a frozen shoulder. So some people will self-splint and not use their arm, and then you end up with a big mess.
Right. So that's one thing. And then the other thing that we see in people who have fallen and land on an outstretched arm is a rotator cuff tear.
Right.
And that tends to happen in people who are older. So if you happen to have torn your rotator cuff, you're still within an age group, depending upon the quality of the tissue, where they might consider a repair. And that has to be done sooner rather than later.
Okay.
So I'd go in and have it looked at and just have somebody evaluate what exactly you injured at the time of your fall and make sure it wasn't just flaring previous stuff, but that there wasn't some new injury that needs a different intervention.
Right.
If it was a rotator tear, would I be able to put it above my head?
Yes.
You can.
Yeah, you can.
Especially
with
a small tear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
So, see someone, Bonnie. And it's interesting because what Bonnie was describing, I had felt something like that at one time, and I thought, well, it'll go away, overuse, and it didn't go away, and I even went to acupuncture. Mm-hmm. I did all sorts, and I finally said, why don't I go to physical therapy? So I went to physical therapy. My doctor referred me, and turned out it was a pinched nick in my nerve in my upper back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was causing pain to go down my arm. So sometimes it's not the actual
source
limb.
Of symptoms. Right.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that's why, particularly if your symptoms aren't getting better in what should be a reasonable amount of time, and Bonnie, after a week, granted she can still be sore, but she should be feeling a little better if this was just a re-injury of her biceps.
Yeah. Good luck to you, Bonnie. I hope yours goes away too. Helen in Littleshoot is with us. Hi, Helen.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I've been an athlete, weekend type athlete all of my life, and I was walking around the track about 10 years ago at a very fast pace walking, and suddenly I became lame like a horse, and it didn't go away, so I went to a sports doctor. I was living in Ohio at the time, and he was a sports medicine doctor for the football team, so I thought, well, this is the right guy to go to. And he examined me, and he said I had bursitis in the area of my Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
And what he said is never have surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And he prescribed physical therapy. So I went in for physical therapy at their sports center, and it was much worse, and I couldn't walk at all.
Oh, dear.
So I went back to the doctor, and he gave me a cortisone shot, and that was like magic. And there were, X number of weeks that you could, he told me exactly when it would, expire, so to speak. And that was exactly it. And so I went back again for a second cortisone shot. And then finally, after a series of cortisone shots, he said, I can't give you any more cortisone. So I continued to suffer. I could walk some. And I was going to New York City to visit my sister, and she said,
Helen, I'm sorry. I'm gonna just jump in, Helen. Where are you right now with your pain?
Oh, so where I am right now is, like I said, I've been struggling for 10 years. So I went through the acupuncture, and I did get one of those elastic ankle supports that go high up on the ankle, and that seems to help get me through the morning. But then I had read that bursitis is an inflammation, and my daughter suggested taking turmeric tablets, and that's been like a miracle.
So that helped. All right. Well, do you have any general? Can you just maybe give us some general thoughts on if somebody has bursitis in their Achilles, what you might do to help that?
Well, I think one of the things that was interesting about Helen's case was she had a cortisone injection, and it helped a lot. So it seems as though they were in the right spot with whatever was causing her pain. But then her bursitis came back, and she got another injection. So in terms of that teeter-totter that we talked about before, something either her dosage of exercise and activity, or something about how she moved, or her foot mechanics, or something was perpetuating this imbalance. So at some point, you have to get to the cause of something that's creating this bursitis. You can't just keep treating the bursitis. You have to get to the cause of it, and it seems as though that was never done.
Right.
So I would say, you know, and I'm sorry that she had difficulty with the first PT. And as my friends and I discussed our aha moments of if we could go back and change something that, you know, in the first 5 years of practice, we all made mistakes.
Right.
But seeing a different physical therapist who might take another view of it might be helpful.
Right. And the other thing with turmeric is you should really check with your pharmacist or your physician to make sure that it doesn't negate any of the prescription medications you're on or have any ill side effects, anything like that.
Thanks, Helen,
thanks,
for the
Helen.
Call. Here's an interesting email from Barbara. She says, my daughter-in-law had surgeries which removed benign tumors from her ear and cranium and had her inner ear rebuilt. Someone told her that physical therapy on her feet would help her with her ensuing balance issues. What do your guests think?
Well,
Yes.
And so you get your balance system is a triad, and part of it comes from your inner ear, and part of it comes from proprioception, or kind of knowing where your body is in space. The third one is vision. And so to retrain those other two components, vision or kind of the body awareness of where you are in space, will help if she has an inner ear deficit. So that is, in fact, very correct.
Yeah, we have their physical therapists here at UW who specialize in balance training, and they can do very specific and complex balance testing, and then give you an intervention that you can do, and then retest you and see if you've made improvements.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Faye in Milwaukee because I think this is a short one that we can get in before news time. Hi, Faye. Faye, are you there? Oh, Faye walked away from her phone. So, Jan in Menasha. Hi, Jan.
Hi there. I'll make it real quick here. Basically, I just wanted your opinion on what you feel the value of the total body vibration equipment is. I know my gym has that incorporated with the red light therapy, and also when I was at one of the large discounters not long ago, they were actually selling the equipment as well. I have osteoporosis and osteopenia, as well as degenerative disc, and I didn't want to do harm, but I'd like to be able to rebuild my bones if I can.
Oh, I haven't heard of these things, total body vibration.
Right, they're
machine.
Like a vibratory plate that you stand on, and they cause vibration, and the theory is that will help you build bone.
Right. There is some research that shows increases in bone density with use of these machines. It's still relatively new in terms of long-term research and its benefits. I certainly would not recommend that above and beyond exercise, which we know to be the best way to build bone in combination with either medication or vitamin supplementation. In contrast, your joints don't like vibration. So one of the reasons we see, for example, truck drivers with back pain is because of the constant vibration of the truck itself. So That being said, there may be an optimal dosage of vibration for your joints. It may not be yes or no, but getting the dosage right, and I don't think we have a lot of clarity yet on what exactly that might be.
Right, exactly. I wouldn't actively seek out a gym that had one, but if they do and you want to try it intermittently with your exercise routine and see if it makes a difference, that'd be how I would use it.
All right, we'll see if we can go to Lori in Duluth. Hi, Lori.
Hi. I have actually a question about knees. I have had two total knee replacements, the last one being a year and a half ago.
Lori, I'm sorry, we're having difficulty hearing you, maybe because you're on a speaker or something. So you had two knee replacements.
Two knee replacements, and the last one, which was done a year and a half ago, I heard it last night. I have never had any clicking or popping. And I was sitting in the back, the way back of a small SUV. And in getting out, I've always had really good flexion. And I had to really do an extreme flexion on a swollen knee because I had been on my feet with grandkids all day. And I heard a crack. And somebody else heard the crack, too.
Oh, owie.
So it was very loud. And now it was and very uncomfortable and tender. I wouldn't call it painful, but I'd call it very tender and very swollen. And now this morning, of course, it's still very swollen.
I'm going to have to ask our guest to think about that during our news break. And Lori, you can stand by for the answer as well. I'm Joy Cardine, in for Larry Mueller, talking about physical therapy issues with Lori Tyne Brody and Jill Tyne Nissenbaum. And you're listening to the Ideas Network. We are discussing foot and ankle problems, how to prevent injury, how to help ease the pain of foot and ankle problems during this edition of The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Joy Cardine, filling in for Larry today, talking with the physical therapy sisters, talking with Lori Tyne Brody, physical therapist and athletic trainer at UW Health Spine Physical Therapy Clinic, and her sister, Jill Tyne Nissenbaum, an associate professor in the Doctor of Physical Therapy program at UW-Madison. And while we have a special focus on our feet and ankles, we are opening it up to other aches and pains that you might have. And we, just before news time, did hear from Lori in Duluth, who has a problem with her knee. She's had a knee replacement. She was getting out of her car, I think just last night, she said, and she heard a loud crack, and now it's swelling. And I'm wondering, I think I'd see a doctor.
So, Lori, we were wondering, this is, you had a replacement in both knees. This was not a do-over in a revision in your second knee. Okay.
No, no.
All right. And where is your knee hurting now? Inside, outside, front, back?
It's front and back, but mostly in the front.
Okay.
And the swelling is mostly in the back. And then the flexion that was always so good before, of course, I suppose because of the swelling.
Right, right.
I just can't bend it.
Right.
Are you limping when you walk, Lori?
A little bit.
Okay. Yeah, I think you should probably have your knee looked at. Are you close by the physician who did the original knee replacement?
Yes. Actually, I did make an appointment. We're on our way to Duluth from Milwaukee, and I did make an appointment to get in tomorrow.
Okay.
But I guess my question was if he was familiar with anything like this.
Well, yes. People who have knee replacements will tweak that at various times. Is it likely that you did any significant damage to your knee replacement? No, probably not.
Okay. It just feels very extreme. I just haven't had anything.
Right.
Like,
well,
say it's been a year and a half and I haven't had anything like this happen before.
Right. Well, your knee was already swollen. And then if you tried to hyperflex it when it's already swollen, you just run out of room. You think about it like a water balloon, okay? And you have this fluid in there, and then you squeeze it. Then that pressure has to go somewhere. So maybe you sprained the capsule, particularly in back. So think again like that water balloon, and you squeeze it, and that pressure is going to push out somewhere. So maybe it pushed out in back, and that's where you're feeling some pain. Maybe you stretched or sprained the capsule in back some.
Okay.
So I guess my point is it something that you should be able to recover from? And I do think so.
Hopefully, yes. But in the meantime, I would do all those strategies of icing, mm-hmm. compression, elevation, easy, gentle range of motion, things like that until you see your physician. That's totally fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks very much.
Good luck.
You bet.
Yeah, good luck, Lori. Again, I know physical therapy really helped my husband, who had meniscus surgery. It was he's also got bone on bone, but physical therapy helped him build up the muscles around his knee, so then it took the pain away from his knee. So,
exactly right. You can offload the joint itself by about 70% with good, strong muscles.
Yep. Let's go next to Brownie in Sun Prairie. Hi, Brownie.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I'm real fortunate today. I don't have any aches or pain. But over the years, as I've, the last few years, as I've gotten back to some running and doing a few marathons, I've had the fortune, good fortune, to attend a few expos and seminars and so on. And at those expos, they've had KT tape, kinesiology tape.
Yes.
A lot of people using it. I've had a few minor strains. In fact, I'm just recovering from a knee strain. And I'm wondering the pros or cons in the current technology in using KT tape or not using it.
That's a great question. So kinesio tape was originally created to kind of realign the kneecap in the joint and make sure that your patellar femoral realignment was good. There's actually a study that came out that had a physical therapist pull the tape correctly, pull it the absolutely wrong direction, and put tape on patients and not pull at all. And it didn't matter which way you pulled. Some patients felt relief, some patients didn't. So in theory, it's probably not correcting the bony alignment as much as it's giving you some input into your brain, letting you know which muscles to activate and where you are in space. So we have patients who use it. They like it. They think it's a good thing. We have patients who don't benefit from it. So I think it's very personal preference.
We just got back from a meeting in San Antonio, one of our big twice-a-year meetings. So we're almost 15,000
wow.
PTs
wow.
there.
PTs
right. there, yeah. And if you went in the exhibit hall, there were all kinds of kinesio tape.
Rock tape.
Yeah, all kinds of knockoffs from kinesio tape. So it's clearly being used and very popular, but it is fairly individual. The extension of that is some of the people who originally used kinesio tape have gone on to develop garments because they felt like they weren't always available to apply kinesio tape. So things like IntelliSkin has come out of the kinesio tape movement. So it's fairly individual. In terms of science, it's sort of up and down, back and forth. There's nothing that says, oh, this is fantastic. So if you like using it, it makes you feel better, go ahead and use it.
Thanks, Brownie, for the call. So did you, learn anything new at your big conference, or is there something new on the horizon that you're watching in the terms of physical therapy research?
I really liked going to my sister's presentation. I think in musculoskeletal/neuromuscular physical therapy, as some of us who have been around for a long time said, musculoskeletal is not orthopedics. It's all neuro. So if you went into orthopedic or sports PT because you didn't like neuro, at the end of the day, it's all neuro.
Right.
So you can be the strongest person around, but if your brain doesn't know how to use that strength, then you're in deep trouble. So some of the newer things in injury prevention and injury rehabilitation, particularly things like chronic ankle instability or knee ACL deficiency, is movement patterns and correcting movement patterns and what kind of verbal and visual cues we use to optimize movement patterns.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I thoroughly enjoyed having my sister there until she asked me a question I couldn't answer.
You did that on purpose.
We love each other.
That's cute. We started the show talking about how too few patients who have something like plantar fasciitis are seeing a physical therapist. But I don't know if we went into great detail on, if you have this, what a physical therapist can do for you.
Sure. Well, like we talked about earlier, the clinical practice guidelines that came out looking at the latest evidence regarding heel pain with a focus on plantar fasciitis came out with kind of the best recommendations that physical therapists should implement when they're seeing patients with plantar fasciitis, and they came up with five things. The first thing being manual therapy, which we talked about, and then stretching, the use of tape or an orthosis, so an off-the-shelf type of foot support, and then last but not least, everyone's favorite to wear, the dreaded night splint.
Yeah.
But it came back with really strong evidence showing that it is helpful in the treatment of plantar fasciitis, although a lot of patients report that they're quite uncomfortable, or their spouse reports they're uncomfortable because the patient rolls over and in bed at night and kicks them.
Yeah. Right. Here's an interesting question from Crystal on Facebook. I drive for a living, and I have found myself questioning the proper way to hold or place your foot and ankle while driving. My right foot is always busy. The left gets achy occasionally. I'm just curious.
Well, joints are designed to move, so that's the big thing. So if you are in a car or a bus or a plane or whatever for any length of time, your joints don't like to be stationary. It's like the engine of the car. They get their lubrication and nutrition when they're running in the car via the oil and your joints via synovial fluid. So if you are sitting in the car, I wouldn't keep it in one position, but I would be moving it around. I'd be writing the alphabet. I'd be up and down, in and out, circles, figure eights, whatever, to lubricate the joint. Now, your joint also likes loading and unloading, so if you can push down on the floor of the car and then lift up again, push down and lift up, that also helps with nutrition in those joint surfaces.
Yeah, it was interesting. On the flight home, I noticed in the Airlines magazine, there was a whole page on keeping moving in your seat.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you have a question, a physical therapy related question. You can also post on Facebook, The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Joy Cardine in for Larry Mueller. Larry is not feeling well today. He's got that that crud that's going around. We are talking physical therapy, especially when it comes to our feet and our ankles, with Lori Tyne Brody and Jill Tyne Nissenbaum. Let's go next to Ray in Elkhorn. Hi, Ray.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Do you have something hurting your foot?
Yeah. It's a type of arthritis. I was diagnosed with it a couple months ago after a year of trying to get a diagnosis, called ankylosing spondylitis.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep,
what
that's
the doctor
right.
said.
Yep.
It's pretty miserable.
Aww.
But I finally got a rheumatologist to give me an answer.
Good.
I was just wondering if you guys have heard about it and if you guys could maybe give me some information and tell me what the outcome is going to be, like, say, a couple years down the road. Is it going to get worse? Are there things that I could help to do to keep it from getting worse?
Well, that's a great question. Typically, ankylosing spondylitis, we think of it as being more predominantly in males, and many times it starts with pain at the bottom of the spine or the sacrum and kind of works its way up. So it's a kind of inflammation or stiffening of the spine.
Yeah.
And so seeing a rheumatologist is a really good strategy.
Right. So
it started in my toes, and it's worked its way up to my hips so far.
I would say that the symptoms in your toes are due to the fact that you have ankylosing spondylitis in your spine.
Yeah.
So your symptoms are probably down there, but the actual pathology is in your spine.
So I guess the question that comes in my head is the foot pain due to the ankylosing in your spine? And ankylosing means that your spine is fusing itself over your lifetime. And how fast that happens is something really your rheumatologist needs to answer, you know, with medication controlled, et cetera. Or do you have another rheumatologic condition associated with your ankylosing spondylitis that's also affecting your feet? So I assume they've done a bunch of blood work, et cetera.
I've only seen them one time. I got another appointment on the 13th of next month.
Yeah, so start making your list of questions so that you can get those answered. In terms of treatment, I tend to see a lot of these people in a pool because it unloads your spine and people are better able to move without all the compressive forces of gravity on all their joints, so they can move their hips, their knees, their feet and ankles, etc. One really key factor is as your spine is stiffening, we need to make sure that you have as much movement as possible in your shoulder girdles, hips, knees and ankles, because they will have to compensate for the loss of motion in your spine.
Right. Well, thanks for your help.
You bet. Good luck.
Yeah, hope it feels better, Ray. Thanks for calling. Robert in Ashland is with us now. Hi, Robert.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I don't know if physical therapy is going to help me, but I got a plantar's wart on my heel, and it really hurts. And I'm just asking for any advice on treatment, any kind of home remedies. I don't know if going into the doctor is a thing to do, but
you can.
Any advice you can give me, I'll hang up and listen.
All right, thank you. You can definitely see a physician or a podiatrist for this, or you can do what most people do, is put duct tape on it.
Put duct tape on it.
Duct tape. Duct tape seems to take care of it. So yeah. I would start with a piece of duct tape on it.
Yeah, so duct tape it and then change that, you know, every day. I can't remember.
So.
Pull it off and then put a new piece on.
Yeah, look on the internet. I've seen that too. Yeah.
So I would start with that as the easiest way, and if it's not improving, then I would see someone.
Yeah, the only other thing that I would say, Robert, is because you're having this pain, just be careful that you're not walking funny and injuring some other part of your foot or ankle or your knee because you're hobbling around. So if you're hobbling a lot and it's really affecting your life, you may want to go for a quicker fix. But the inexpensive version is duct tape.
Yep.
Let's go to, interesting, Connie in Green Bay. Hi, Connie.
Hi. I have the right ankle, lateral side at the ankle. My ankle swelled. Now, this is for the last, I've never had a problem with it until up to about the last 2 to 3 years. Now, this ankle swells, and the swelling doesn't go down at night. It's more aggravating because that's the foot you use for your gas pedal and going down steps. I've been to a sports medicine doctor. I've had 2 injections of cortisone, which helped, 15-20%, and that's about it. So I just was wondering, is there anything that's not a pitting edema, and if that edema just stays there and it, you know, causes it to be stiff? And I do have flat feet, so is there anything that you can suggest?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I would start with maybe some sort of compression garment that had an area of compression specifically in that area. I'm thinking like a J pad that can help with that, but that's still not getting to the underlying cause of why you have the swelling.
Yeah, so that was my question. So is he injecting your ankle joint into the joint with cortisone or someplace?
It's on the inside is where he puts the injection, on the opposite side of where the bone is, that bone is. And I did have had an x-ray, and there is a little mild arthritis there, but I don't know why after all these years, in the last 2 years, 2 to 3 years, it all of a sudden started to swell there, just at that joint.
Well, I guess the key to treating it would be to be figuring out why you're having the swelling at the joint. So things that cause that kind of swelling in your joint are usually what we would call intra-articular, inside your joint, and they're usually arthritis, or it could be some kind of lesion in your joint surface. Sometimes just a standard x-ray doesn't give you a sufficient view of where the arthritis might be. Also, you can have different kinds of lesions to your articular cartilage that don't show on an x-ray. So, you know, in treating the swelling, you can't just treat the swelling if you don't know where it's coming from.
Right.
So getting to the cause of it is really at the crux of what you should do to help it get better.
Yeah.
The rest of it is just speculation on our part.
I would either suggest different imaging views or an MRI to see what's going on in that joint.
Yeah.
Good luck, Connie. Thank you for calling. Debbie in Duluth has a question now. Hi, Debbie.
Hi. We're wondering about the current TENS units for my badly broken ankle that I did in 2012. I had metal plate screws, all of which had to be taken out. Both the fibula, tibia, and the back of the heel had broken.
So a trimalleolar fracture.
Okay, I'm on gabapentin for the nerve damage, but there's still ongoing pain. At that time, they had said after, or before and after PT, that it would never be better than it was. At that point, it is a lot better, but there's still pretty much regular pain and limitation of activity and movement. It swells when I elevate it above the heart, or pardon me, it swells before, and then I elevated it above the heart for a while. The foot and ankle get rather cold.
Yeah. Debbie, so there's tens units that you can buy over the counter now.
You can buy them over the counter. You can buy them online, and you can see if they help you with your pain. In general, we try to get people moving and stay active. Again, for someone like Debbie, the pool is a good place to work because the hydrostatic pressure will help control the swelling during activity, and she can do more things in an upright vertical position. So finding some place where these people can get ongoing regular exercise, even in the presence of their injury, is really important in terms of lifestyle and general health. So you can see how far that kind of exercise program may work for her, in contrast to isolated things like resistive bands and things that are weight-bearing and gravity. Mm-hmm. And then the TENS unit certainly can help with pain relief.
Right. Some people will use a TENS relief or TENS unit while they're doing their strengthening exercises to kind of get their strength high enough that they don't have so much pain. So,
good luck to you, Debbie. Marcia emails, is it possible that I got tennis elbow from a marathon of crocheting?
Yes. Totally. Absolutely.
So what can I do to relieve this? I've tried heat, cold, and ibuprofen, but I have not yet seen a doctor or a physical therapist.
Well, you should probably see a physical therapist. It sounds to me like she's figured out her mechanism of injury, but I'm guessing if she was on a crocheting marathon, there's probably another one in her not-too-distant future. So she needs to work on posture, make sure when she is in this doing her crocheting binges that she's in a good position. She needs to alleviate the issues that she has with her elbow through some stretching and strengthening. So just like anybody else who does a repetitive motion over and over and over, seeing a physical therapist who can help put them in the optimal position for this would be a good thing. One or two visits and she'd probably be ready to make me an Afghan.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the fact that it's relatively recent and acute, it's better to get some help and get on the right track because these can notoriously become chronic quickly.
Yeah. We have just a minute or so to go. Maybe a final tip from both of you, if you especially have a foot or heel or ankle pain. Jill, what do you recommend?
Well, I would definitely say to those people who have that ankle sprain that they kind of dismiss as, oh, it will get better on its own, I would strongly encourage them to see a physical therapist to prevent it from becoming chronic ankle instability. We know from the research that if you sprain it once, you're probably going to sprain it again, and we'd like to prevent those second sprains.
Mm-hmm. Right. And in terms of the overuse injuries, there are certainly some home remedies that you can utilize. But because we're on our feet all day long, it's really hard for overuse injuries to recover without some kind of intervention or at least some advice on how to manage your dosage of activity, that is the frequency, intensity, duration of activity, and what we can do in terms of shoe wear, strengthening, including hip and knee, to optimize mechanics so that you can get more load out of your feet and ankles before you have symptoms.
Thank you both very much for being here. And I assume you will be back next month.
March 20th.
March
Outstanding.
Yes. Good. I'm glad you know.
I do. Well, the main reason I know is because it's spring break.
Wonderful. All right. So you can hear more with Jill Tyne Nissenbaum and Lori Tyne Brody next month. I'm Joy Cardine in for Larry Mueller. I hope Larry will be better tomorrow. Tomorrow at this time, we will be hearing from the author of a great book on using a pressure cooker to prepare meals. So that's the topic tomorrow at 11 o'clock. I'm Joy Cardine, in for Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network.